Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, if you would like to call in, we are an interactive Bible study. You can call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That number is 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can participate in this interactive study. If you have any questions for the speaker, you can also share what God has placed on your heart. Amen. So you can call in that number and be a part of this. This evening, we're going to start off, we're going to move on into prayer, and after we move on into prayer, we're going to go into the book of Ephesians. For our prayer list, we have Pastor Paul Robinson, Minister Bill Robinson, Tanette Dickerson, Billy Dickerson, Luke Owens Jr., Roosevelt Franklin, known as Chico, Pastor Arthur Fowler, and Stuart Hawthorne. We're going to go in prayer for them. If you have anyone that you would like to add to our list, please let us know and we can add them on to our prayer list. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of prayer. We thank you for knowing that you are a sovereign God. You sit high and you look low. You know each and everything about us because you created us. And so, Father, we take time to pray for those names that we've listed, and there are names that we did not list that we may have left out, but you know who they are. We're asking, Father, that you would minister to their bodies, that you would continue, Heavenly Father, to build them up in the areas that they need ministering. Father, we look forward to a miraculous healing because you've given us the authority to go in prayer. You asked us as your children that whenever we have anything that we'd like to ask, that we should go in prayer. And so we come in prayer now, as humbly as we can, asking that you would heal those names that are listed. Father, we thank you for the victory right now. We thank you for what you're doing. And then, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do beforehand. Because we know, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And your word does not come back void. We thank you for being able to call you our Father. That's a special relationship that we have. We thank you for that. Father, we ask that you bless this evening. Father, we also ask that those who are listening, Heavenly Father, may receive a word from this end, that we may be united in Christ. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, as we move on into the scripture, this evening we're coming from the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And the title of our topic this evening is Walking in Unity to a Life of One Hope. Walking in Unity to a Life of One Hope. And it goes on to read as such. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had to descend into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens, and that he might fill all things. And he gave to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge and of the Son of God, to mature manhood, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitfulness, by schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is head, into Christ. That is a reading of the word, and that is coming from Ephesians 4, 1 through 13. So as we look at this, Ephesians was written for the early church and caught up in the tension of conflict of diversity. And this conflict and diversity was between the Jewish and the Gentile Christians who struggled to worship together because of their different cultures, their religious backgrounds. The writer of Ephesians had hoped to show their unity was from God's grace, and it was given to Christ, crucified and raised. It was Christ in whose name they were baptized, who determined the nature of their fellowship and serving in the world. The book also states that it is unclear whether Paul or one of Paul's faithful followers wrote Ephesians. The theme, as we move on to this, is unity. Christian unity is found in one true God who created and sustains us, Christ and the Holy Spirit. God unites us as a people of faith. We are a people of one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. We are meant to be together. We are meant to build one another up in love and loving our neighbors wherever they may be found. And if you look at that, that is the diversity, loving our neighbors wherever they may be found. Amen. So as we move on into this, from 1 through 6, we begin with the most important one, which is in verse 6. One God and Father of all. As I had just denoted earlier, we were talking about loving our neighbors wherever they may be found. One God and Father of all. And that is what Paul is trying to initiate here. One God and Father of all. And in the book of Ephesians, that's where the conflict arose, because they could not see one God and Father of all. The diversity was, some believed that he was the Father or God, their God, but only to their culture. Only to their culture. So as we move on in verse 4 and 5, it talks about the body, the spirit, hope, Lord, faith, baptism. These are all part of God, and that's what makes up God in all of us. The body, the spirit, the hope, Lord, our faith, and baptism. That's what makes up who we are as a Christian people. God is the one from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. God, the Father. This means that we as Christians are concerned not only with unity of the church, but also a worldwide unity. Now get this, we're not talking about one church. We're not talking about the unity of this one church. We're talking about worldwide unity. Because if God is the Father of all, then we're talking not only about one church, but we're talking about worldwide. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we just get caught up in almost like a little trap that we can only focus in our circle, in our sphere, in our four walls. But God is much bigger than that. And here Paul is saying that we are to not only walk in unity in the church that we attend, but we are to walk in unity outside the church as well. Worldwide. See, because again, I restate, God is the Father of all. Christ is described in a cosmic term as the one who fills all things. And when we look at the word cosmic in here, it is denoting that the cosmic is speaking relating to the cosmos, the extraterrestrial vastness, or a universe in contrast to the earth alone, comparing the universe to the earth. So when it's the cosmos, it's talking about the vastness of God, the vastness of God, the vastness of the scale that God operates. Can you imagine that? There is no limit to what God can do. We were saved by grace. We were saved as a oneness. And when I say a oneness, I'm saying that we are the body of Christ. We were saved as a oneness. And we were saved in unity. The body cannot operate separately. It has to operate together. If we look at verse 4 and 5, they talked about a formula to what the prior belief of baptism was. One body speaks of the church, one body of Christ. The body has one Lord, Jesus Christ, who is head of the whole church. And if you want to look any further, you can look at that in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It states just that. The one Spirit is God. It's God's Holy Spirit. And that was received at Pentecost. And that was at the time that we confess Christ. Christ as Lord. One faith is a response to the gospel. The gospel of salvation. That's what this whole thing is about, salvation. Salvation. We are to walk in unity. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in the Spirit of Christ. We are to keep in mind of how we respond to our neighbors, no matter how they may look, no matter where they come from. We are to respond to the gospel of salvation. And Paul is saying here that we are one body. One body. And we are to operate in unity. Not separate, but in unity. Amen? God's grace. He was crucified for you and for me. And we know that by faith that he has risen. And that's where our hope lies. That's where our hope reaches out to. The hope for forgiveness. When Christ died, he died because of our sin. He chose to die for our sins and to redeem us through his death. One Lord.
Mm-hmm.
One Jesus Christ. We all are believers, and we're united in one Lord, one hope, because of our baptism in Christ. We have been baptized in Christ. We have been united with one another.
Mm-hmm.
We have been united as, how can I say it, baptized
mm-hmm.
children of God.
Mm-hmm.
This probably could be an overwhelming statement to me, depending on how you see your neighbor. Any
Amen.
Comments?
Amen.
Any comments?
No, God bless you. I like this word of unity, because that's who we are. As you were talking, I was thinking about how the Holy Spirit was giving me that we are to be as God is one.
Amen.
With the Son.
Amen.
There's no separation with God, with the Son and the Holy Spirit. As they are one unit, as they are one, that's how we're to be with each other. No separation.
Amen.
Saved as one. Even though we get saved at different times, when we do come together in the knowledge of Christ, we are one. And God expects us to live as one, move as one, be as one unit in unity.
Amen.
Without any schism, without any separation. When you hurt, I hurt. When you move, when you say hallelujah, we're supposed to be such a unit, such a flowing unit.
Mm-hmm.
That, and there's no separation in it. Just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There can never, ever be any separation. So when you said not just our local churches, but all over the world.
Amen.
We're to come together and be just that, one.
Amen.
Moving as one in unity.
Moving as one.
Christian.
Amen.
Moving as one in Christian unity. Amen. This is a good word.
Amen.
It's amazing because when we had prayer today, Pastor and Pastor Gloria Mixon, our senior pastor, and we have a noonday prayer, and you're just a witness to what we were saying and what we were praying, and not just for our church but for the body, and how one faith, one Lord, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you brought it out right here in the scripture.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just looking at how God is.
Amen.
He's really up to something. He's really up to something. He's trying to bring us closer unto himself and bring us closer unto each other so we can
Amen.
Make a change in the world, in this
Amen.
Nation especially,
Amen.
Because we live here. Amen.
Amen.
It's a very good word.
Amen.
Amen.
Any more comments?
Amen. Amen.
Any more comments? I chose to go this direction because, and if I did not say to you who are listening via phone and by internet, Happy New Year, I chose to do this because we're talking about a new season. We're talking about a new year.
Amen.
We're talking about a new attitude. We're talking about a new life. Walking in a new life. 2018 should not be the same as 2017.
Amen. Amen.
Our attitude that we had in 2017 as we crossed over should be better. It should lead to the world, to the, a life worthy of our calling. As we walk in Jesus Christ for 2018, our walk should be a little different. Our steps should be a little firmer, with more confidence. Walking in a new life, a new year.
And I just want to piggyback off that. And our character should go even deeper. As the Word of God says, we are a peculiar people. We should not be like the world. The world should want to be like us.
Amen.
So in this 2018, yes, our language should be different or transformed. Our walk, our everything, because as eight being new beginning, God is up to something. Then from here, from right now, like
Amen.
Pastor Dawn said on New Year's Eve, like it's a new. We're starting here.
Amen.
Everything that happened last year is gone. It's finished. It's a done deal.
Yes,
from this
Amen.
Point on, from this point on.
Amen. And the whole scenario of this, of what Paul is talking about, and he is basically walking in brotherly and sisterly love. And how
Amen.
Do we walk? How do we walk? We are to walk. We are to be humble. What does it mean to be humble? Humble means that we are not to be proud. God resists proud people, and
He does
to the humble.
To the
And the reason He gives grace to the humble is so He can lift you up. So He can lift you up. Being humble before God, being gentle to our neighbors. Gentle, how do we treat our neighbors? That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about walking brotherly and sisterly love, and that is being humble, being gentle to your neighbors, no matter what they said, no matter what they did, no matter how they look, no matter how tall they are, no matter how short they are. But being gentle to our neighbor, and more than anything else, the third and most important, being patient. Being patient in love. Because from what I remember, love conquers all. It doesn't make a difference how they may treat you, how they may talk to you. And I'm talking to you that's listening by internet. It doesn't make a difference what happened on your job, how they look at you. Patience is a virtue.
patience is a virtue. And to walk in a brotherly and sisterly love, let me say that again, is to be humble, to be gentle, and to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Christian actions that God has given us as we occupy this earth. Caring for Christians, caring for the world, caring about other people. Love conquers all.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's whole letter here is based on love of neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And that sums it up. That sums it up, his whole letter. Love of neighbors. That's a law we're required to do. That's a law. And Paul is just operating, and he's talking in his letter under the law, which was given to us. Love our neighbor. You know that word. You've heard that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that is just, and this is not just on dealing with emotions. It's not just dealing with an emotion. It's an action. Gently bearing one another. Gently bearing for another's burden. Gently bearing and caring for those of the world. Through being humble, gentle, and being patient.
Mm-hmm.
It's costly.
It really is.
It's the down to earth, everyday inconvenience for most people. But it's a costly love.
Mm-hmm.
It is a costly love.
Mm-hmm. Jesus did it. Mm-hmm.
So we move on into to verse 7, 4 through 4, 7. And it talks about the greatest gift is grace. And that was through Jesus Christ. What is grace? Grace
unmerited,
is free.
Unmerited favor.
Grace is unmerited favor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is manifested in salvation of sinners. Grace is a present given to humanity.
You can't earn it. It's freely given.
Amen.
He gives it to us. We can't earn that.
Amen. God gives each and every one of us a gift. And oftentimes, we look at the gift that someone else has and not at our own gift. We look at what others are able to do and not what God has purposely given to us. We have our eyes focused on the wrong thing. When we keep our eyes focused on God and his grace, then we begin to start to recognize who we are. We begin to recognize what our capabilities are and what our purpose is that God has appointed us to. Gifts. We each have a gift. Let me take it. Look at it like this. If we are the body of the Christ, and you are the arm, that's a gift. If you are the leg or the feet of Christ, that's a gift. Every part of the body of Christ is a gift.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And the leg can only function. And the leg can only function as the leg could function, because that's the leg's. That's what God put in the leg, just like as the arm. The leg can't function like an arm. It has to stay in its lane and function like a leg is supposed to function. And because we all have different gifts, we don't need to, like you're saying, look at someone else. We look to the gift that God has given us, and we work that gift. And at the end of the day, all the gifts come together, because it's going to come to glorify the God that we serve.
Amen.
Because he's the one that gives it to us.
The body of Christ.
Amen. Say that.
Amen.
Amen.
That is so true. That is so true. All of our gifts serves one purpose, and that is to build up the body of Christ.
Amen. Because I can't do what you can do, Elder John.
Amen.
Exactly.
Say it again.
I can't do what you can do, Elder John. Whatever gift God gave you, it's for you.
Amen.
And he's perfecting it in you.
Amen.
I can't say, well, I like his gift better than I like my gift, or I like his gift when I don't even know my gift.
Amen.
So I'm going to try to do his gift. But I'm in error, because God didn't give me that. He gave it to you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I want to point out is that there is no hierarchy of gifts. In other words, as you just said, one is not more important than the other.
Amen. That's right.
One is not more important than the other.
Mm-mm.
My brother, my sister, take your eyes off of what someone else is doing and start looking at what God has for you to do. Because each gift is important. Each gift, each gift that God has given us is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Each gift is meant for building up the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're speaking in love to our neighbor, that's building up the body of Christ. You're building up, you're encouraging someone else. You're building up the body of Christ. When you're helping someone who may be in destitute, that's a gift. You're helping to build up the body of Christ. You're helping all of these gifts come together for one common purpose, and that is to build up the body of Christ. All these gifts operate differently, and that's where that diversity comes in.
It's to build up
the same does not mean that they're not a part of the body. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All those gifts is to build up the body of Christ. And then the body of Christ is to show those gifts. And then those gifts that the world sees, they will glorify, at the end of the day, they will glorify the Father that's given us those gifts.
Amen. Amen.
It's for us to build one another up, show it to the world, and the world says, wow, what is it about y'all?
Yes.
And we'll in turn say, it's the Father who gave us the Son.
Amen. Amen.
And you
always
too can have this.
Always acknowledge
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Always acknowledge.
Amen.
As we move on into
13
through 16.
Amen.
Paul is talking about church as living, growing organisms filled with the Spirit of Christ, who leads us to the maturity
of Christ leads us to the maturity of Christ. Growth. Our experiences that we go through, that you go through, we're constantly growing as long as we are obedient to the law of Christ. We're growing. Even when we fall short, even when we fall, God picks us up, wipes us off, and let us continue on. And we grow. We learn from that. Maturity. Maturity of Christ. Understanding who Christ is. Understanding what Christ has given us, has given you, has given me. Understanding the gifts that you have. And utilizing that gift or those gifts. Using those gifts for the building up of Christ. Understanding that. That's maturity. Day by day, we grow. Day by day, we grow in Christ. Learning more about Christ and what he desires of us.
Amen.
Even understanding the authority that he has placed in each one of us. God's gracious and merciful will one day bring creation to completion. Bringing it to completion. Christians need not doubt, need not worry, need not get caught up with false teachers.
Amen.
Anything we are to get up, get caught up in the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Because there is a testimony in each and every one of our journeys. There's a testimony. There is a testimony. Speaking truth to others when they're in error, not being hard, not offending anyone, but speaking truth is critical. And Paul talks about this here. He talks about speaking truth in love. When we're correcting someone, we're correcting them out of love. We correct our children out of love. And that is to make sure that they do not make a mistake that's going to hurt them and hurt you. Because we love our children so much that we correct them to make sure that that correction is going to help their growth, help their maturity. We must understand that Christ is the head of the church. And any time that we are corrected by Christ, it's a healthy growth that involves all parts of the body. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Seeing a neighbor in need and helping that neighbor. Correcting someone out of love and not offending them. Being confident of who we are in Christ shows maturity. not doubting, but knowing that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Knowing that our whole purpose is that we're walking in unity to a life of one hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. Knowing that Jesus Christ died, resurrected, and he's coming back again. Knowing that he is sitting high and watching over you and me and protecting us every day, every night. Knowing that he loves us so much that he gave his life, that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Knowing that he wants us to walk in faith. Faith of knowing that God's always going to be with us, no matter what we're going through. Financial, physical, mental, emotional, whatever we're going through, Christ said, I will always be with you. And knowing that since he is always going to be with us, that we're not to worry, because God's going to work it out. And that causes us to move into action, and that's being patient, waiting on God. Waiting on him. Is it good knowing that we have a supreme divine Father who is the creator of heaven and earth? Who knows everything that's happening even before it happens? Knowing that the Supreme Divine Father is protecting us even when we don't know when we need protection. I know that speaks joy to my spirit. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I'm not in this alone. That I'm not walking this journey alone. That God is walking with me.
Amen.
And God has even given me a task that along my journey, he's going to send people my way and that I'm going to be there's going to be certain actions that they receive from me. That's going to help build them up for the body of Christ. That I know how to be gentle. That I know how to be patient. That I know how to treat my brothers and my sisters . That I know how I want to be treated by them. And God is going to reward me for everything that I do. I may not be able to see it, but knowing that it's going to happen. That's faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. You can't always see God working on our behalf. That's why God wants us to rely on him. He wants us to lean on him. To lean on him. Any comments? This is a new year.
Amen.
This is a new year. And God is doing a new thing with us.
Yes, he is.
He's brought us into a more mature state of action. As we operate on behalf of our Father, that when others see us coming, that they're not going to run, but they're going to be expecting a word of encouragement, a word of love. As God has given grace to us, we are to do the same to our neighbors. This journey is not an easy journey. But we know we're going to make it. We know that we're going to make it. We know we're going to get through it. Because the Word has already told us that. No matter what it looks like in our eyes, in our lens, God sees something totally different. We see broken pieces. God sees a complete piece of work. He sees it completed. And that is the beauty of it. Our hope in Christ. Of knowing that when we work here, as we're working on this earth, our hope is knowing that we're working for salvation. We are working for salvation. So for the time that we occupy this earth, we are workers for Christ.
Amen.
Wherever we are, wherever we're placed, it could be the worst of locations. But God would not put us there if he did not feel that we was not equipped to handle whatever it is he sent our way. He's equipped each and every one of us to complete the job. We just have to have faith.
Amen.
Any comments before we close?
It's a good word.
I feel like this is one of the things that I would like to leave with you as we close. In fact, let me leave it two things that I'd like to leave with you. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
How do you understand the difference between unity and uniformity? That's one. For those of you listening by internet, write it down. How do you understand the difference between unity and uniformity? We're not going to go over that. That's going to be your homework.
Amen.
Number two, what do you think it means to speak the truth in love? And when have you witnessed someone speaking the truth in love? Let me repeat that again. What do you think it means to speak the truth in love? When have you witnessed someone speaking the truth in love? Those are two questions that I would like to leave with you. Your homework, I call it a self-evaluation, which we always need to evaluate ourselves. What are we doing? How are we doing it? Has it gotten better? Are we getting better? Always evaluating ourselves so that we do not get caught up in the busyness of the world, of society.
Amen.
And we lose track of the journey that God has placed us on. So I do thank you for tuning in. Minister Haman,
Amen.
Would you like to close us out in prayer?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this night. We thank you for a new year, dear Father. We come into this new year with expectancy. We thank you for the word that has come forth over the airways and for us that's receiving this word of unity, dear God. For we are the body of you, dear God. And we thank you today that as we listen to this word, as we digest this word, hallelujah, we pray that this word will give us action to not just
yes.
hear it, but be doers of the word. We thank you, dear Father, for our Elder John and this ministry, dear God. Continue to move by your power and your anointing. Bless all those right now that are challenged in their bodies of sickness and disease. Lord, we know in this year, they're going to see the manifestation of going through and coming through because they held on. Dear God, we thank you today. We thank you for each and every household. In Jesus' name, bless it.
Yes.
Like
amen.
Only you can. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Once again,
amen.
We thank you for tuning in. Join us next week, same time, same place, at 7 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. And again, happy
can begin.